Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
In 1 Peter chapter 1. Through my years of ministry, I have had people ask me, well, what's the use? Does it really pay to be a Christian? Well, I want to tell you, the benefits are out of this world. And the opposite side of the coin, you don't want to go there. It really does pay to be a Christian today. I'll be very brief, just like the song service. I was expecting a few more songs so that I could get over there and get my thoughts together. And Dave looked over me and said, that's it. So when I look at y'all back that way, I say, that's it. Get ready to go. I mean, if it worked for him, it'll work for me, won't it? By the way, I'm telling you what, if those people don't stay out of dying, that place will blow Griffin. I'm going to get so fat I can't preach. I don't know. I don't have any quitting sense down there. Y'all, the ones that didn't get to go, you ought to go down there. I'll tell you what, sure is worth a trip. Does it really pay to be a Christian? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. And we're going to look at some of the requirements or some of the things that that's brought up. And I'll just read a few verses of Scripture, and I'll comment on them, and then we'll have a prayer, and then we'll go home. But I want us to look at some of the requirements for obedience tonight. You see, it really pays to obey tonight, to be a Christian. And obedience is better than sacrifice. You see, we can sacrifice our time, we can sacrifice our talent, we can sacrifice various things. But I want to tell you, when we are obedient to the Word of God, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I quote that scripture right frequently because I really, it has become one of the crutches that I lean on in these days in which we are living. But as we look at this, the requirements of obedience, and hey, listen tonight, I am preaching to the choir almost literally. The ones of you all that were sitting there listening, Dave said, why didn't you get up here and help them tonight? But anyway, regardless, Bible says, well, it does make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, doesn't it? I've had people say, well, Brother Melvin, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. And I've heard people say, well, put a tune in there, we'll see where you can carry the knot. All right, now listen very carefully as we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, and I want to go to verse 13. And look at the positive attitudes. Yes, it really pays to be a Christian tonight. Wherefore, the great apostle Peter has challenged us, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. They used to call it the power of positive thinking. Now, I'm sure the one that came up with that philosophy must have been a Christian. Because I'll tell you what, when you think positively and think as the way God teaches us and shows us in His Word, when we think positive, you see, we keep our sights focused in the right direction. Now, we can get a negative attitude. Have you ever had a negative attitude? Well, y'all sanctimonious ones that say no. We got an altar call in just a little while. Notice that, wherefore gird up your loins of your mind, the thinking. Do you know where the devil attacks you first? He attacks you in your mind. You say, well, no, what about the flesh? Well, honey, the mind keeps the flesh under subjection. Now, when you Gird up the loins of your minds, the thinking, the thought process, thinking on the right things. When you get your mind out in the gutter, you're going to be in the gutter. It says, not only your minds, but it says, be sober. Let your minds, your thoughts be sober. That means serious. Now, I like to have fun myself. And I joke and carry on. And sometimes folk don't understand, think maybe I carry on a little too much. Well, I don't know what too much is. Miss Mildred has tried to tell me a few times. Now, notice very carefully. Sober and hope to the end. To the end of what? Well, I think he might be addressing the end of us, let's walk here down here. You see, when we stay focused in the right direction, when we're walking in the right direction, the song says, keep walking, keep walking. I was playing the piano for a group that was singing that one night. They said, they started on keep walking, keep walking, keep walking. They got too many to keep walking. Somebody said, boy, they hung up, ain't they? And it says, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So let me say once again, it's all because of Jesus. It's all about him tonight. Now the world tries to ostracize him, try to put his name out, erase, eradicate, put it as a non-entity, just a person that was crucified, dead, buried, rotted in the tomb. But I've got news for that crowd. One day, they're going to stand before him and hear him say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. That's going to be a sad day. Now, you know, I think sometimes some of these rascals that give me a problem, Brother Alton, through the years, you never had anybody give you a problem, you know. But I have. And I thought, well, you know, one of these days they're going to get it. But hey, listen, we shouldn't rejoice in the fact that one day they are going to receive their rewards. Because, you see, that's going to be a sad day when they are cast into the lake of fire. But, you see, as we think on those thoughts, and we try to, and every day that we live, we should be focused in the right direction. Our thought processes, for the grace of God that is in you, brought to you by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And do you know when that revelation is really coming? It's coming at the end. I read about him. I've got his love letter. And I read him. And he talks to me through the Holy Word. But I've never seen him. I've never touched the nail scars in his hand. I've never touched the piercing in his side. But one of these days, we're going to see them. Some folks say, well, now, scars still there. The scars that marred the body of Jesus Christ will always be there as a reminder to the ones that kept the right focus, kept their eyes on Jesus, to remind them that he and he alone is the one that purchased their salvation at Calvary. So we see we should have a positive attitude. We should think right. Next, we should have a proper appearance. Look at verse number 14 now for just a few minutes. Peter says, as obedient children. Now, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is one, first of all, who has surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Obedience is one who has believed and has received the gift of grace through the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. Obedience. We are obedient children in that we are the family of God, in the family of God. But now, we're supposed to remain, we're supposed to act like obedient children. Now, Dave was an obedient boy. But Dave was a boy. Dave was a big boy. And Dave was not always obedient. But I didn't have to whip him too much. He had a mama. I let her have that department. Amen. Son, you ought to shout over that one. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. You see, in our past life, not past as far as, you know what I'm talking about, before we were saved, our life when we were still in the lost, sinful condition. You see, we should, when we've been saved, we are changed, we're different. We're supposed to act different, think different, and talk different, and go different. We're different. But now, when our feet carry us into the wrong places, and our eyes carry us to the wrong visions, ears carry us to the wrong hearing, and our mouth spews out the wrong things, we've not lost our salvation. We're still saved. We got the Holy Spirit living with us, and we're still saved. But I'll tell you what. When the Holy Spirit begins to pull and twist at you and say, and you think, well, why am I so miserable? If you're really genuinely born again, he's going to make you so miserable until you'll get on your knees and ask God to forgive you for what you've done. And if you don't do it, he knows how to carry you to the whipping shed. And if you see a person that can go by on sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning and get and never feel any remorse, never feel any conviction from God, never see a change in their attitude or their walk or their talk, you mark that person down. They're not under the blood of Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Melvin, you mean that we're supposed, that we, wouldn't we be judging? Well, I think the Bible says that we are to judge. We're judges. We're fruit inspectors, if you please. That does not mean that we're supposed to get in the face of you, sorry, sinner, you just, well, I'm not, no. That's not the way to handle it. The way to handle it is lovingly, tenderly encourage, pray, and see if you can help that person that's wayward, that's drifting too far from the shore. Oh, listen, we go on to verse 15 and 16 now, and we see a pure action. But as he hath said, that which called you and is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That's lifestyle. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, we can never be holy like the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot attain sinless perfection like him. But I'll tell you what. When we do stumble, and I'll attribute it as stumbling. When we do stumble, and the Holy Spirit convicts us of our stumbling way, and we get on our knees before Almighty God and beg for forgiveness and truly repent, not just lip service, but truly repent, it's wiped away. And you know what? What happens to you individually when it's wiped away? Whew. Oh, what a relief it is. It's not a fizz either. But it sure is a good relief. Now listen very carefully. So we've seen the requirements for obedience. Look at the reason now just for the next few minutes for obedience. We see, first of all, that God purchased our redemption. Go to verse number 18 and 19, the first part now. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold. You know, there are a lot of people that think that if they by what they give or what they can contribute or what they do, that they should receive salvation. But you say, we give because of what we've received. We contribute and we do our parts because of how God's blessed us, but not because of the blessing, but because of what he's done in our soul. You see, he'll bless us with material things. He'll bless us with health. He'll bless us with these things. And that's wonderful. But hey, listen, the best thing that we've received is salvation. The best thing that we've seen received is the hope of glory. Now, I don't know, and we mentioned sometime, we sing about heaven. Some call it heaven, some call it home, some call it Paris. It's a song. Boy, I really like that old time song. But I want to tell you tonight, I know that that's my home. Now, I've got two here in Newnan. I got a home up here on LaGrange Street. I got a house on Bittersweet Lane. I'll tell you what, I got an eternal home in heaven. And one of these days we're going there. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with the corruptible things of silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Oh, listen. Now we see God's provided our redemption. Go on to the latter part, next part of that, verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Oh, listen. Those fellows that are already over there now in the Holy Land, I tell you what, I sure would like to have gone along with them. But when Mike and I got to go over there, we went just before the Passover. Came home just before the Passover. In fact, we left on Thursday, and it was the next day. The Passover was the next day, and then Easter Sunday. We saw the place where Jesus prayed and wept bitter tears. We saw the old hill where the cross stood. We saw the empty tomb where the body was buried. We prayed under the olive trees where Jesus had prayed. In fact, some of the trees had died, and all of a sudden in 1948 they started blooming again, and they were still alive. They were alive when Jesus was there. Then they had died down. They thought, but they didn't cut the stumps. They just left them there as symbols. Then in 1948, when Israel became a nation again, they started blooming. And they're alive today. We're serving the real God. Whew. Goosebumps all over me. That's the God we serve tonight. He's real. We're not just going through some ritualistic service. We are honoring the true living God tonight. We see God provided our redemption. God planned our redemption. Verse 20 says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Even before the foundations of earth were created or made or whatever, I have spoken, however he did it. Even before that, God knew what was going to happen. He knows from the very beginning to the very end, there's no end. From the beginning, he knows it all, and he knows everything that's going to happen. You say, well, Brother Melvin, how in the world does he have a big computer, a laptop that hold all that junk, all that stuff? Ladies and gentlemen, forget your laptop. Don't even ask them to put it in the casket for you. won't do you a bit of good. But I tell you what, my God knows everything, because he was in the beginning when it all begun. You say, well, explain that to us tonight. I can't do it. But I will tell you this. When you get there with me, when I get there, he is going to explain it to us, and we are going to be so rejoicing, and we're so going to be so enlightened about this God that we're serving tonight. This book holds what we need to know. But beyond that, he's only let us know what we need to know. But tonight, dear friend, one of these days we're going to know as he is known. We're going to know it all. I've run into a few know-it-alls in my life, and you probably have too. They knew it all because they told me they did. But having said that, let's move on. God promoted our redemption in verse 21. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. I want to say tonight, there's no preacher, I don't care how great he has been, and there have been mighty great pulpiteers through the centuries, some great men that expounded the truth, but they can't save your soul. They can only direct you to the path, down the path to where you can meet the one that can save your soul. But listen, if I weren't saved tonight, if I did not know Jesus Christ as in a personal relationship, I would not wait too much longer, because time is running out. Finally, in closing, the results of obedience. Let's look at them. See the evidence, the compliance to the Scriptures. In verse 22, the first part, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. What is the truth? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the truth. You see, you do not memorize a creed. You do not embrace a doctrine. You do not join a fellowship or even join a church and have sprinkling or water baptism for salvation. You do that as a result of salvation. You see, once you're saved, you submit yourself to what the Bible teaches us as a believer. You do not get the horse before the cart. Notice very carefully the compliance of the Scripture. Seeing you've purified your soul in obeying the truth. And the evidence of that is controlled by the Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, it says in the last part of that verse. And I'll read the entire verse. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Holy Spirit of God. I will never forget. Oh, I had a lot of convictions. A lot of times when God spoke to me about my relationship or lack of relationship with him. But nothing like that afternoon, late evening, at 14 Collier Road in Atlanta, Georgia. Holy Ghost conviction fell on me. And I could not be any more miserable if Mount Stone Mountain had been cast over and thrown at me. And I know beyond a shadow of doubt, I know that the Holy Spirit dealt with me that evening. And I know when the transformation came into my life, that convicting burden, that powerful burden that I carried for almost 2 months. I've wondered so many times, and one day I will ask the Lord when I get there, Lord, why was it necessary for me to be under such heavy Holy Ghost conviction for 2 solid months before you listened to me? But I think I already know the answer. Because you see, he knew down the road I'd be in the pulpit preaching. Buddy, when you get behind the sacred desk and carry the word of God, you better know that you got God with you. That's an awesome, serious thing. Serious thing. To be honest with you, I had prepared another message. And all of a sudden, that stupid computer had a Baptist relapse. And I called in the Baptist relapse corrector. And the one that knows more about computers than everybody I've ever met in my life came to my office, sat down, and she worked and worked and worked, and she couldn't figure it out. So what did I do? I went to Plan B. This was the message God wanted me to deliver tonight. Because somebody in this service tonight, God wanted you to hear this message tonight. I don't know who you are, but I will tell you this. You know who you are. And God knows who you are. Every head bowed and every eye closed. As they began to play softly on the instruments. Brother Phil gets ready to lead us into congregational hymn. Would you, each and every one of you, seriously take inventory of your own self and see where you stand with Almighty God tonight. Ask yourself, why did I really come to this church tonight? What was my purpose in being here tonight? God ordains things in our life for a particular purpose. God ordained that night when I was about 20 years of age, that I'd be going down that highway back toward Atlanta, Georgia. Ordained that at Leland Community, there'd be a car, an automobile, driving by some teenagers that riding fast down the road and lost control and headed straight to my automobile, my car. God ordained and knew that was going to happen. That was the beginning of the end of my life as a non-believer. God got my attention that night. You can turn your ears and you can pretend you don't hear anything, but you cannot shut God out of your life. He will be there through the Holy Spirit. He will stay with you until you have either come to salvation or you come to the place of not being able to comprehend or receive. Totally rejected God. It's a dangerous thing to get in that position. Heavenly Father, in thy holy name, touch the hearts. You do the business. We've given the message. In thy name we pray. Amen.